Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord God, in all our doings with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Be seated. And with the children, please come forward. Hey guys, I broke my rule today. You ever get in trouble when you break rules? Well, I broke mine today. I have a rule that I don't ever bring my cell phone into church. I leave it in the church office. I don't even bring it in here, but I brought it in here today for a very important reason.
What?
I want to show you something. All right, there it is right there. On my phone, I have a compass.
Hey.
Do you know what a compass does?
And I do not, they have compasses.
Do they? Yeah. So, with this compass, I always know which way is north, which way is east, which way is west, and which way is south. This says north is that way. And do you know what? If I turn my phone over here, it still says north is that way. If I turn my phone backwards, it still says north is that way. If I turn my phone this way, it still says north is that way. See, it says in that way. It's got a little red thing right there. It always points to the north. And people use this when...
Where was it? The North Pole?
Yeah, the North Pole's that way. A long way. It is very far. Super, super, very far. That's not here yet, but I can. But I know where the North Pole is. That would be fun. Yes. So, when people are out in the woods and they need to find their way, they can use a compass like this to find out their directions, which way north is or south or east or west, and they can figure out how to get to where they need to go. Yeah, well, that actually tells me what degrees around the circle we are, but north is that way. So aren't y'all glad y'all are on the north side of the church? Yeah. Anyway, but that's always going to be north, and that's important if you're lost and you need to know where to go. Now, did you hear what I just said? If you're lost and need to know where to go. Most people, if you have a real compass, this is a compass I have on my phone, but most compasses are something like this.
Is your house super far?
Yeah, no, my house isn't super far. It is super fun, but not super far. So this is what most compasses look like. They're a little dial, and they have something on there that turns.
Where do you got that from?
It turns to keep pointing to north. This actually is pointing north right now.
Where do you got this?
I have it in my office.
Where is your office?
Out that door to the east. And then you turn kind of south. Yeah, you go out that door and then that way. Okay? So, anyway, you got this compass here. But this is a very special compass because can you see what it says? It doesn't say north, east, west, and south. Can you see what that says?
God.
God is what it says. And it reminds me all the time that I should have my life pointed to God. That everything I do should be the way God wants it. That everything I say should highlight God and help other people to know about God and God's love for them. And so a few years ago, we actually gave one of these to everybody who was here. Don't know if y'all still have them or not. But yeah, you weren't, probably before you were born is when we gave these things out, because it's been a long time. But this helps us remember that God should be everything we're about. When you listen to our scripture passages from the Bible today, that's kind of the point that most all of them make, is that God should be the very center of our lives, that God should be what we point to in all things. So that's what I wanted you to know today. All right, let's have a prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us, and help us each and every day to point to you and to have our lives pointed at you. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
First lesson is a reading from Deuteronomy. See, I have set forth before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if you, but if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land of the Lord, land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is from the book of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker. To Apphia, our sister. To Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace to God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love, and I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I'm appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
There's a moving story from Spain about a father whose teenage son ran away from home. His father's heart broke when his son was gone, and he set out to find his son and welcome him back. But although he looked everywhere, he could find his son nowhere. Finally, in Madrid, in a last desperate attempt to locate his son, he placed an ad in the newspaper. The ad read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." The next day, in front of the newspaper office at noon, 800 Pacos showed up. They were all seeking forgiveness and love from their father. We know how that feels. At some point in our lives, most of us have known that terrible feeling, that lonely lostness and echoing emptiness of needing so desperately to be accepted, to be forgiven, to be loved. And although we might never have realized it, that's just what one of our scripture readings today is all about. We don't know much about the small book of Philemon near the end of our New Testament. It's a small book consisting of only 25 verses, so it's even kind of hard for us to find when we flip through the Bible looking for it. There are two things about it that we know for sure. One, that it was a letter from Paul, and two, that it involves a drama between Paul, Philemon, and someone named Onesimus, who seems to be a slave. And in this little book, we have given to us a dramatic story of life, death, faith, and most of all, forgiveness. It seems that Onesimus was a runaway slave. Somehow this fugitive had found his way to Rome or to Ephesus, and he had come into contact with Paul, and through his contact with Paul, Onesimus became a Christian. Paul quickly grew dependent on Onesimus and the help that he offered to Paul's mission work. But when Paul learned that Onesimus was a runaway slave, Paul knew he had to send him back to his master, to Philemon. Both of them were aware of the risk they were taking. A master had absolute power over his slaves, even the power of life and death. So Paul wrote a letter to Philemon, whom he knew and who was also part of the church. And in the letter, he pointed out how useful Onesimus had been to him. Paul suggested in the letter that perhaps it had been God's will for Philemon to lose Onesimus for a short time so that he might now have him back forever. But no matter what, Paul makes it clear in this brief letter, no matter what, Philemon must receive Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a Christian brother. Philemon must forgive. He must receive Onesimus as if he were receiving Paul himself. And then, having written this letter, he put it into Onesimus' hands and sent him on his way. What happened? Well, I hate to leave you hanging, but we don't really know. What is very intriguing is that 50 years later, when an early church father, Ignatius of Antioch, was on his way to be executed in Rome, he wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus. In the first chapter of his letter, he has much to say about the wonderful bishop of that city, and that bishop's name is Onesimus. Was it the same man, forgiven and set free to serve God? We don't know, but you can't help but hope that it was. So what is the message for us in this little book? Well, the first thing we learn from Philemon is that in human terms, forgiveness may be more important for the forgiver than for the forgiven. If you read between the lines, David Buttrick writes, suddenly you realize who the real slave is, Philemon. For Philemon is a slave to his position as master. Think of what Paul is doing. He is aiming a slave back home to liberate his master. You see, the power of forgiveness transforms the forgiver as well as the forgiven. The power of forgiveness brings us closer to God. And more than anything, the letter to Philemon teaches us to forgive each other. Second thing you learn from Philemon is that we have a God who uses a pencil. Although it happened a long time ago, some of you may still remember the children's sermon that happened right down here. I know I'll never forget it. I was talking to the children about forgiveness, and I used a pencil to show the children the eraser and to talk about how God erases our sins. We're a church of forgiveness, I said. And that's when one child looked up at me with big eyes and said, "Then why don't the pencils in our pews have erasers on them?" It was a good question. And ever since, we haven't used those little golf pencils anymore. And our pencils do have erasers on them in order to remind us that we have a God of forgiveness. We do have a God of forgiveness. We have a God who understands, who knows our sins, a God who knows our temptations and our needs and our hurts, a God who wants nothing more than to give us mercy and love and hold us close to his heart and in his arms forever. We don't have a God who writes in ink. Our God uses a pencil, and in God's love, our sins are erased and forgotten forever. So here's the bottom line. The tiny book of Philemon has an important message for each of us today. It reads, "All is forgiven. I love you, your Father." Amen. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Gracious God of life,
You have given us the precious gift of time. Help us to find strength and enthusiasm in each hour and day to be centered on you and your work in the world. May we live each moment active in love. May you do your work through our hands. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God of support and care, you have given us the precious gift of this family of faith. We thank you that you have called us together and pray that you will lead us in building here a community of joy and compassion for one another and for all the world. Open our hearts to feel your presence here with us. Open our hearts to live out your love. Lord, in your mercy, living God of presence, you have given us the precious gift of dwelling with us. In the midst of all that life brings, may we lean on your comfort. In our work and life's busy schedule, may we find time to be still and quiet and sense you near to us. Increase our devotion to you, and as we live in our world, let others see you in us. Lord, in your mercy, saving God of love, you have given us the precious gift of grace and healing. Reach your healing and helping hand into our world. Share our lives. Our thoughts turn especially to all those suffering in the wake of Hurricane Dorian. Be with them, strengthen them, and invite us anew to offer our help. Bless all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God of grace, you have given us the precious gift of Jesus. May we be transformed by his sacrifice to repent of our sins. May we be changed by his resurrection to live in new and graceful ways and to embrace the love and peace that come only from you. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
God, our provider. We bring nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it, except the gifts you have first given us, which we bring to your table, and with them the offering of our lives. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy are you, God.
Holy God, you created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life, and fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. God of blessing, at this table we have seen you face to face, and in the gift of Christ's body and blood, our hearts have been refreshed. Send us now to shine with all your goodness and bear witness to the one we have received, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.